This is our day to shine. And we do that, Paul says in his letter to the Church of Philippi, by knowing Christ here, now, today. But that's kind of odd language for us, especially with a person that we cannot see. There are two different ways to think about knowing Christ, and only one of them will actually change our lives. And we're often taught to pursue the lesser one. So I want to describe those two ways and then talk about how to pursue the life-changing way. I want to start by lingering on these words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. This is in chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Paul's been talking about stuff that he used to pride himself on, actually kept him from love and from God, and he's written a new resume. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. What does he mean, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? Often people think that means being in a relationship, that means I'll get to heaven, and that's the main point. Not what Paul says. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And then he goes on in verse 10. I want to know Christ, that little word again, and to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And we'll see here these different verbs, knowing and participating and becoming, are all deeply connected. So let's talk for a moment about the two different ways of knowing Christ. Dallas Willard talks about this in his book, Knowing Christ Today. Eleanor Stump writes about it in her book, Wandering in Darkness, in a little bit of a different way. The particular language I understand comes from a philosopher by the name of Bertrand Russell, who said that there's kind of two ways that we can know things. There is knowledge by description, and this is essentially knowledge that I know that 2 + 2 = 4. I know that E = mc², whatever that means. I know that water boils 212 degrees. I know certain facts about George Washington. And this is a real important kind of knowledge. It tends to be the kind of knowledge that we almost entirely focus on in school. It's also possible to be puffed up by this kind of knowledge. When Paul writes 1 Corinthians chapter 8, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. This is the kind of knowledge that he's talking about. There is another form of knowledge. And Bertrand Russell calls this knowledge by acquaintance. And this is real knowledge. It's factual knowledge, but it's also experiential knowledge. And it is sometimes difficult to put into words. So here's an example. When I was growing up, you may know my grandmother Lubala, she was a wonderful cook. And one of my favorite treats is she would make popcorn this way. She would fry bacon and burn the bacon. And then she would pop the popcorn in the bacon grease. And then she would cut up the bacon and put it into the popcorn. Nobody in my grandmother's family lived to be real old, but we had good times with her. Now imagine there's somebody who has no sense of taste and no sense of smell. And you try to describe to them the aroma of bacon or what it's like to taste popcorn that's made in bacon grease. And if you've never done that, you need to do that today. That's knowledge by acquaintance. It's real, but until you've had the experience, you don't actually know it in that way. And it's often hard to put into words. And then beyond that now, of course, knowledge by acquaintance is particularly important when it comes to knowing a person. I can know certain things about George Washington, but I know my grandmother by acquaintance. I know she was a great storyteller and a wonderful cook and somebody we like to be around, and the kind of person who had three sons and would name them Hack, Jack, and Matt tells you a lot about her right there. Knowing a person is a real thing. It's a factual thing. It's often difficult to put into words. Now, this is terribly important as a general rule in the Bible when it talks about knowing God, when Paul talks about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Often we just think, well, I'm supposed to know all this stuff about Christ and get it right, and I feel pressured and I don't know enough about the Bible, didn't go to church enough. No. It's talking primarily about participatory interaction, the experiential knowledge by acquaintance of the person of Jesus. That's what Paul considers to be of such surpassing worth that it is a good bargain to let go of all of the stuff that used to puff up my own pride, my pedigree, my religious achievements, or my accomplishments at work, or whatever that might be, my appearance, my IQ, my reputation, to let go of that and in my neediness find God, find Jesus at the end of my rope. That's worth it all. This is Dallas Willard, Knowledge of Christ and the Spiritual Life, in his book, Knowing Christ Today. Those who really do know Christ in the modern world do so by seeking and entering the kingdom of God. To know Christ in the modern world is to know him in your world now. This is knowledge by acquaintance from one moment to the next. To know him in your world now is to live interactively with him right now, where you are in your daily activities. This is spiritual life in Christ. He is, in fact, your contemporary, and he is now about his business of moving humanity along towards its destiny in this amazing universe. You don't want to miss out on being a part. You're part of this great project. There is a real danger that you will miss out on this. Eternity is now in process. Silently it moves along, but it will not run over you. You have to really want it. And Paul did. The surpassing worth, everything else, I'll give up. Dallas goes on to write about how the simple fact is Jesus Christ is present in this world. His teachings, even mangled and broken, have an incredible power to disrupt human systems, including the ones we claim to own him. He is the misfit, thus available to all who would seek him. He is the man on the cross calling out to join him there. And so we enter into an experiential way of life. I was on a flight to Oklahoma recently to Crossings Church. Hi, everybody from Crossings. And a woman was seated next to me on the plane, and she was obviously experiencing a lot of deep emotion. I wasn't quite sure what else to say, so I just said to her, I'm a pastor. Now, that's kind of an awkward thing to say, and usually I will say that to somebody on the plane if I want them to shut up. But in this case, it was really clear this was somebody who was going through something real deep, and that just opened up the floodgates, and she was on a flight by way of emergency. Her brother had just had a heart attack, lots of other stuff going on in her life. And that flight was about an hour and 15 minutes. And we just talked and prayed that whole flight. And Jesus was there. He is present in our world. How do I try to seek out his presence when I want to? This is what Dallas writes. To come to know him. And to clarify who he really is, how do we do this? Now, this is seeking first the kingdom of God. This is just when Paul talks about the worth of knowing Christ, that's the same thing that Jesus described as seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus, when he defines eternal life for the only time in John 17:3, he says, now this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. This is factual, it's reality, it's truth. But it's not just knowledge about God. It's not just being able to quote facts from the Bible. It's interactive, participatory engagement with God right now. I'm talking to you, and at the same time, I'm saying, oh, God, would you somehow go through these inadequate words and speak to others through them? How do I do that? To come to know him and to clarify who he really is, people have only to stand for what he stood for as best they can. And to do so by inviting him to take their life into his life and walk with him. If they do this with humility and openness, which everybody knows to be his manner of life, they will know him more and more as they take his life to be their life. In this way, they, you and I, don't have to know at the start. It's enough to venture on the kingdom of God and its king. It's like this. I will talk sometimes about how I took my wife for our honeymoon to Wisconsin, not a great move. And at one point I was withdrawn and pouting and emotionally overwhelmed and so immature in so many ways. And I was using a book to keep away from her. And she finally said to me, put down that. And then she used a non-faith-based adjective to describe the book. And my thought was not one of any kind of self-awareness at all. It was just, oh man, it's just our honeymoon and she's already using non-faith-based language. And the irony is, it was my honeymoon and I was reading a book about Freud, all about sexuality and human dynamics and relationship. And I could have been coming to know at every level this wonderful person to whom I was married. You may know that, for example, in the Bible, that term know will be used to describe sexual intimacy between Adam and Eve, for example, between a man and a woman. It is interactive engagement. It's knowledge by acquaintance. And the invitation is, in my relationships with other people, to come to know them in this deep way with Jesus as my guide. So that's what I'm after today. That's the invitation today, to know Christ, not just know stuff about him. Yes, to read about his life, to read his teachings, to read those stories. That's part of how I become acquainted with him. He becomes alive to me. But in this moment right here, in every moment of this day, every time it occurs to me and to you today, Jesus, could I participate together with you? Could I venture at all on your kingdom? Part of what the Bible says is we don't always know when it's happening, but one day we will. The king will say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And people will say, when did we do that? And he'll say, when you did it for the least of these, I was there. It was me. That was me. You were coming to know me. You just didn't know it. That's the invitation today. God, let me know you. Let me know you. Let me know you. That's how we shine.
Hey, thanks for tuning in here at Become New. I'm Tim. I'm a part of the team. And I loved that prayer. Christ, let me know you. Let me know you. And it just made me think, you know, where is Christ waiting to meet with me? Where is Christ waiting for me? And I'm just curious where he's waiting, where you think he's waiting for you. And this is one of my favorite places to come and walk and to be with God. So I think in the quiet place, God's often waiting for me. But then I was just challenged to think, how many people that need clothing am I clothing? How many people that are hungry am I feeding? Or people in prison am I visiting? Orphans and widows am I caring for? And maybe Christ is waiting there for me. And I feel challenged by that today. So we hope that these teachings don't just go in one ear and out the other, but really resonate with your heart and give you just a little invitation of stepping toward God and toward knowing him, not just knowing about him, just one day at a time. So we'd love to hear from you in the comments, or you can reach out to us, text us or email us. All of our contact info is in the show notes. And if you need prayer, we're here for you. You can send us your personal prayer request, and we would love to pray for you. Thanks for joining us at Become New. We'll see you next time.